On the 17th of July 1980, 30 hours before the launch of the second SLV-3, the newspapers were filled with all kinds of predictions. Many reports preferred to trace the history of the first SLV-3 flight and recalled how the third stage had failed to ignite because of lack of fuel and the rocket had nosedived into the ocean. Some were a general prognosis of all that ailed our country and related it to the SLV-3. I knew that the next day's launch was going to decide the future of the Indian space program. In fact, to put it simply, the eyes of the whole nation were on us. In the early hours of the next day, the 18th of July 1980, at 8:03 hours to be precise, India's first satellite launch vehicle, SLV-3, lifted off. I saw the computer displaying data about stage 4 giving the required velocity to the Rohini satellite to enter its orbit. Within the next 2 minutes, Rohini was set into motion in a low Earth orbit. I spoke, in the midst of screeching decibels, the most important words I have ever uttered in my life.
Mission director calling all stations. Stand by for an important announcement. All stages perform to mission requirements. The fourth stage Apogee motor has given the required velocity to put Rohini satellite into orbit.
There were happy cries everywhere. When I came out of the blockhouse, I was lifted onto the shoulders of my jubilant colleagues and carried in a procession. The whole nation was excited. India had made its entry into the small group of nations which possessed satellite launch capability. It was both the culmination of a national dream and the beginning of a very important phase in our nation's history. Prime Minister Indira Gandhi cabled her congratulations. But the most important reaction was that of the Indian scientific community. Everybody was proud of this 100% indigenous effort. I experienced mixed feelings. I was happy to achieve the success which had been evading me for the past 2 decades, but I was sad because the people who had inspired me were no longer there to share my joy. My father, my brother-in-law Jalaluddin, and Professor Sarabhai. The credit for the successful SLV-3 flight goes first to the giants of the Indian space program, Professor Sarabhai in particular, who had preceded this effort. Next, to the hundreds of VSSC personnel who had through sheer willpower proved the mettle of our countrymen, and also, not least, to Professor Dhawan and Dr. Brahmaprakash, who had led the project. Within a month of the SLV-3 success, I received a call from Professor Dhawan in Delhi, asking me to join him the next morning to meet the Prime Minister, Mrs. Indira Gandhi. I had a small problem. It had to do with my clothes. I was dressed casually, as is my wont, and wearing slippers, not by any standards of etiquette, suitable attire in which to meet the Prime Minister. When I told Professor Dhawan about this problem, he told me not to worry about my dress. "You are beautifully clothed in your success," he quipped. Professor Dhawan and I arrived at the Parliament House annex the next morning. There were about 30 members of the Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha in the room. Professor M.G.K. Menon and Dr. Nag Chaudhary were also present. Srimati Gandhi spoke to the members about the success of the SLV-3. And lauded our achievement. In January 1981, the renowned nuclear scientist, Professor Raja Ramanna, invited me for a private meeting. The Devil missile program had been shelved in spite of tremendous achievements made by Narayanan and his team at the Defense Research and Development Laboratory, DRDL. The entire program of military rockets was reeling under a persistent apathy. Professor Ramana asked me if I would like to join DRDL and shoulder the responsibility of shaping their guided missile development program. I felt honored by the esteem in which Professor Ramana held me. Republic Day 1981 brought with it a pleasant surprise, the conferment of the Padma Bhushan Award on me. I filled my room with the music of Bismillah Khan's Shehnai. The music took me to another time, another place. I visited Rameshwaram and hugged my mother. My father ran his caring fingers through my hair. My mentor, Jalaluddin, announced the news to the crowd gathered on Mosque Street. My sister, Sora, prepared special sweets for me. Pakshi Lakshmana Shastri put a tilak on my forehead. Father Solomon blessed me holding the Holy Cross. I saw Professor Sarabhai smiling with a sense of achievement. The sapling which he had planted 20 years ago had finally grown into a tree whose fruits were being appreciated by the people of India.
Oh, Ananda Chidohi, Ananda Taranga, Ananda Chidohi, Ananda Taranga, Ananda Chiyanga, Ananda Te, Ananda Chiyanga, Ananda Te, Ananda Chidohi, Ananda Taranga, Ananda Chidohi. गर्भाचे आवडी मातेचा डोहळा तेथीचा जीवळा तेथे बिंबे गर्भाचे आवडी मातेचा डोहळा तेथीचा जीवळा तेथे बिंबे तुका म्हणे तैसा तैसा ओतला सेठसा अनुभव सरीसा मुखाला आनंदाचे डोही आनंद तरंग आनंदची अंग आनंदाचे आनंदाचे डोही आनंद तरंग
I joined DRDL on the 1st of June 1982. To the horror of many old-timers, I started inviting people from the Indian Institute of Science, Indian Institutes of Technology, Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, Tata Institute of Fundamental Research, and many other educational institutions where related experts could be found. I felt that the stuffy work centers of DRDL needed a breath of fresh air. I made a presentation in the South Block. Although some questioned our ambitious proposal, everyone was excited about the idea of India having her own missile systems. When the Defense Minister, R. Venkatraman, suggested that we launch an integrated guided missile program instead of making missiles in phases, we could not believe our ears. The proposal of the missile development project had been turned overnight into the blueprint of an integrated program with far-reaching consequences. When I presented the government sanction letter before the Missile Technology Committee at DRDL, they were enthused with fire and action. The proposed projects were christened in accordance with the spirit of India's self-reliance. Thus, the surface-to-surface weapon system became Prithvi, the earth. The tactical core vehicle was called Trishul, the trident of Lord Shiva. The surface-to-air defense system was named Akash, the sky. And the anti-tank missile project, Nag, Cobra. I gave the name Agni, fire, to my long-cherished dream of REX, Re-entry Experiment Launch Vehicle. Dr. Arunachalam came to DRDL and formally launched the Integrated Guided Missile Development Program on the 27th of July, 1983. It was a great event in which every single employee of DRDL participated. Everybody who was somebody in Indian aerospace research was invited. This was the second most significant day in my career, next only to the 18th of July, 1980, when the SLV-3 had launched Rohini into the Earth's orbit. The launch of the Integrated Guided Missile Development Program was like a bright flash on the Indian scientific firmament. Missile technology had been considered the domain of a few selected nations in the world. People were curious to see how we were going to achieve all that was promised. We were at a meeting laying down the targets for 1984 when news came of Dr. Brahm Prakash's death on the evening of the 3rd of January at Bombay. It was a great emotional loss for me. His compassion and humility were exemplary. His healing touch on the day of the failed SLV-E1 flight surfaced in my memory, serving to deepen my sorrow. If Professor Sarabhai was the creator of VSSC, Dr. Brahm Prakash was the executor. He had nurtured the institution when it most needed nourishment. His humility mellowed me and helped me discard my aggressive approach. His humility did not consist merely in being modest about his talents or virtues, but in respecting the dignity of all those who worked under him and in recognizing the fact that no one is infallible, not even the leader. He was an intellectual giant with a frail constitution. He had a childlike innocence, and I always considered him a saint among scientists. Prime Minister Indira Gandhi expressed her desire to personally apprise herself of the progress of the Integrated Guided Missile Development Program. The entire organization was filled with an aura of excitement. On the 19th of July, 1984, Srimati Gandhi visited DRDL. Prime Minister Indira Gandhi was a person with a tremendous sense of pride in herself, in her work, and in her country. The esteem in which she held our work in the field of guided missiles boosted our morale immensely. We were working on the action plan that had emerged from the earlier month's review when the news of Srimati Gandhi's assassination broke. Srimati Gandhi's death was a tremendous loss to the scientific community. She had given impetus to scientific research in the country.